Bye. 3.6. 3.2, the whole school building.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing out loud.
Truly hope we thank the Lord to be here today. As Brother mentioned, that Elder Draper asked us to come. So we hope and pray what time before you that most of all something might be said in honor and glory and praise of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, maybe to your comfort and your edification. So, Brother Keith, you have a song. You want to stand and sing? Stand and sing number 55. Any of you want to stand or maybe seated if you like. And after that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer.
I am not ashamed.
Journey, and we thank you for these thy loved ones, and thank you for what they stand for. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that I have left on record. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of thy Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We certainly thank thee for thy mercies and grace, and thy many multiplied blessings that we received when we were so unaware, so unworthy of thy blessings. Pray, Lord, now that you bless those that the brother has mentioned, those of bad affliction, those that desire the answers and prayers of God's people. We pray, Lord, if it be thy precious will, that you would bless them and be around about them this hour and in days to come. Bless thy people wherever they might be, especially dear Heavenly Father, those that's met together in thy name to worship and honor and praise thee. Ask, Lord, that it be thy precious will, that you would bless those who stand and speak in thy name, that you would bless them to speak in a way to be honored and glorified of thee, Lord, that they might be blessed to stir up the pure minds of God's people. They may have a greater desire to walk the straight and narrow way to give honor and glory and praise to thee. Bless this country in which we live. Bless those authority over us. Lord, we never forget to bless those on foreign soil, Lord. And bless our loved ones that left behind. Bless our young folks, our people, wherever they might be. Lord, no doubt many have many sorrow, many heartaches, many problems in the sin cursed earth in which we dwell. If some have financial problems, some marriage problems, Lord, whatever they may be, some loss of loved ones, and Lord, we just pray thy blessings upon them to do thy precious will. Forgive us for our many sins, for we ask in his name, our Lord and Savior, the returning Savior, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and amen.
Amen.
Again, we say we hope we thank for the Lord to be here and thank God for his mercy and his grace. I was talking to Brother Keith there, you know, the song in this old book here, that Amazing Grace, see? That last verse is, I'm pretty sure it's like it's originally wrote in the beginning. And there's a lot of difference, and of course, in that book and in this one, that last verse, if you'll notice it. You know, it says here, you know, the earth shall soon dissolve like snow. the sun tomorrow to shine. But God, who called us here below, shall be forever mine. And that's very true. The Lord is coming back one of these days, and this earth is going to dissolve like snow. Of course, the guy that wrote over here in this book says the earth shall soon ruin and go. You know, you can set an old car out in the field, and it'll ruin, but it'll still be there. But the earth itself, well, some of these days, will not be here. This is what we see, this ball here, and even the heavens above will be melted with the ferment heat. So it's true here in this book here. That particular verse is more correct, as far as I'm concerned. It's more scripture and what it is in the other. Because, like I say, you know, it is going to dissolve one of these days. And, of course, just to burn, you know, like an old car or any kind of building. You leave a building unattended and untended to, and you don't keep it up, it'll burn. But it'll still be there. Oh, excuse me, it'll still be there. So, but that's not going to be the way this earth one of these days. It's going to dissolve like snow. So, that much is said about that. You know, sad to say, we hear sometimes of maybe a brother, you know, leaving a little group of people and going somewhere else, brother, because they say there's people not joining the church, you know, and they feel like they're not doing any good. But I find in the scriptures, of course, no matter what size the group of people, whatever, God's people need to be fed. You know, Peter tells us, and over here in John, you know, that he said, feed my sheep, and of course, to feed my lambs. And of course, you know that you've read it there, you know, where the John asked John the question, said, lovest thou me? And of course he said, to feed my lambs. And he asked him again, he said, lovest thou me? And Peter says, Lord, thou knowest thou love thee. And he told him, he said, to feed my sheep. And so he asked him, and now this is now the third time that Jesus showed him to his disciples. And then, of course, he asked Peter the third time. And he told him, he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love thee. And of course, he said, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. This is found in John, I find the 21st chapter, along about 14th, 15th verse. So he told Peter, you know, to feed the sheep and feed the lambs. Of course, you know very well that God's people are sheep, you know. Of course, God's little children amongst the Lord's people are considered as lambs. My wife and self, we never did call our grandchildren kids. You know, a lot of people call their children kids. My wife felt like she was blessed to see evidence that not only the children, but the grandchildren was evidence that things they said and things that they did is there's evidence that they were children of God. And of course, you know, really small sheep, baby sheep, are lambs. That's what the Lord said it was. He said to feed my sheep and to feed my lambs. So they're God's children, God's little children amongst God's children are really not kids, because kids, a kid is a baby goat. And in the Bible, goats are described as aliens, you know, because the Lord's going to come back one of these days and he's going to say to the sheep on right hand, sheep, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And also saying, going to say to the goats on the left hand, go ye there in everlasting punishment, prepared the devil and his angels. So I find that kids are baby goats. But babies, little children, amongst God's children, are lambs, because the Lord said, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. So Lord tells his, you know, to his servants, you know, of course, to feed God's children. And regardless of how small the group is, regardless of how large you are, they need feeding. They need to be edified. They need to be comforted, you know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you know, the end of that verse, that chapter there, it says, comfort one another with these words. Talking about the Lord coming back again. It says it's comfort. God's people need comfort. They need feeding. They need edifying. That they might grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth. And of course, you know, and by hearing the gospel, there's also a saving in it. There's a saving in hearing the gospel. You know, for as the heart's concerned, the preacher can't teach your heart. We find over there in 1 John, you know, about the second chapter, I believe, 27th verse, you know, talks about that anointed thing that's within you, the Holy Spirit, that anointed thing that's in you. He'll teach you all things, and you need not any man teach you. That's talking about the heart. The Holy Spirit will teach the heart. The Holy Spirit will enable the heart to believe us. The preacher can't do that. There's no way that the preacher can do that. I mean, if he could enable the heart to believe us, then he could give life and take it away. But he can't. The Bible teaches over in Romans 10, he said, with the heart man believeth, but with righteous, but confession is made with the mouth unto righteousness. So, and of course, you know, over there, like I said, I quoted that verse there in John. He said, that anointed thing within you shall teach you all things. You need not any man teach you. Well, there's no contradiction in the Word of God, because over in Romans 10, it's talking about the preacher. Over there, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, the God of glory. And of course, we're the three in one, and the God in the Godhead, you know. And of course, that's what it's talking about over there. But over in Romans 10, it's talking about the preacher. Because it says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall he call unless he hear? How can he hear without a preacher? So a preacher can save God's people, for as this world is concerned, in God's kingdom, by teaching them the truth, by edifying them, you know, by feeding them, by preaching the gospel to them when he's blessed the Lord. But God's people need feeding. They need feeding. And I can't understand why, you know, anybody want to leave a little group of people, Miss God, maybe, somebody not joining the church. That's good. That's good, and that's good news. We're always glad to hear somebody join the church, and of course glad you maybe hear somebody being baptized. But that's not all of it. That's not all of it. You know, regardless, for instance, a man was married to a woman, and she only brought one child into the world, and then she became barren. Would he up and leave her because she couldn't bring no more into the world? That wouldn't be right. No, it's his duty as a father to stay there to take care of his mother and that one child. Not only she has a large bunch of children, but as much his duty to take care of that one it is to be a family of ten. And the same way in the Church of the True and Living God, regardless if you what you got two or three, it's the duty of man that God has called out of darkness in his marvelous light, and of course ordained him in heaven, if true, and then to preach the gospel, it's just as much important to feed one as it is to feed a house full. It's much as important. Because he didn't say how many sheep or how many lambs. He said, to feed my sheep, he'd feed my lambs. Of course, he tells us over here in Peter, 1 Peter 5, 2nd verse, he said, to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not of constrainment, nor but of a willing mind, but not fulfilled lucre. I'm sorry to say that I've heard amongst the Lord's people that some brother up leaving a little group of people because they couldn't support him. They must have not never read this verse. He said, not for filthy lucre. Right? What is filthy lucre? Right? So, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. But of a ready mind. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. God's people need feeding. Like I say, they need feeding, regardless of the size of them. Of course, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, if I find in the scriptures that you, of course, you know, the Lord's really the one that does the adding to the church. I mean, it's not the preacher, really. All the preacher does, really, is just bring to light what God's already worked in the hearts of God's people. The Lord himself enables God's children to believe us. You know, a lot of people, I may have mentioned this here before, but a lot of people, you know, in this world out here today are mixed up on John 3:16. They don't see the word that's in John 3:16. John 3:16 says God so loved the world. Of course, we very well know it. He's talking about a particular world. God so loved the world that, of course, you know, there's a lot of worlds in the Bible. A lot of worlds. You know, there's over there in Luke, you know, they went out of degree from the siege of Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. And, of course, that was talking about the Roman world. We never paid no Roman taxes. I have never have. There's a lot of worlds in the Bible. So John 3:16 is talking about a particular world. It said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, not believe. The world will tell you, if you'll only believe, you become a child of God. That don't say believe. That word is believeth. And of course, over there, as I just quoted over in Romans 10, he said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, but with confession was made with the mouth unto salvation. So that word is believeth. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the security. That's the security text to God's people. John 3:16 is a security text to the Lord's people. And of course, you can go on down further in that particular chapter. Down, in fact, the truth about it, maybe down to the end of that particular chapter. And you don't never hear that one read, or never hear it quoted. 35, for the Father loved the Son and hath given all things unto his hand. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. In other words, already has it. Already in the past tense. He that believeth on the Son. He that believeth with the heart, of course, already has everlasting life. But he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. He don't only have it, but he says he can't even see it. Of course, we know, we find over in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, says neither need can he know them, because they're foolish on him, because the Spirit to discern. And it says here, it says, so he says, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He don't only say that he can't believe it, but he won't believe us. Of course, you know very well that the scriptures teach us over here in John, over here, that there's a rich young ruler. There was a rich young ruler. Of course, we call him rich young ruler because the Bible says one place he says one he's rich, another place says he's young. Of course, he was a ruler. And he became before Christ, and of course, he thought he could go to heaven by keeping the law, And of course, the Lord proved to him that he couldn't do that. Because, to keep the law, the Ten Commandments, and of course, the first one of the Ten Commandments is, it says, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And of course, the Lord told him, he said, if you'll sell what you have and give to the poor, and you can take up your cross, take and follow me. But he didn't do it. Of course, there's evidence later he was a child of God, but he didn't do it there. But the Lord just proved to him that he couldn't go to heaven by keeping the law. Of course, the point I was getting at, the disciple then asked the Lord, he said, well, who then can be saved? He said, this is impossible. It's impossibility. Impossibility with man. That's talking about first eternally saved. Of course, we know very well in Philippians 2:12, the Lord said, blessed Paul, Apostle Paul, to write there by the inspiration of God, he said, to save yourself from this untoward generation. That's talking about in the church, in God's kingdom, here in the world. But first eternally, with man, it's impossible. Because he said it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle and a rich man entering the kingdom of God. And of course, in the Bible, rich man is described as an alien. That's not talking about somebody who's worked hard all their life, tried to save up a little bit of money, put it away for their loved ones, and things like that, to take care of themselves when they get old. That's not what it's talking about. That's talking about a rich man in the Bible is a man that fired sumptuous every day. He in this world, he had no trouble, no sorrows, nothing in this world ever bothered him. This world was his heaven. So rich man in the Bible is described as Adam. But God's children, when they're born again in spirit, they become poor. Not talking about financially. That's not talking about financially. They become poor in spirit. God's people become poor in spirit. Because, mentioned here, or maybe in here, I don't want to remember where it's at now, but you know, God's children, when they're born again in the Spirit, when they have a burden, desire to take up their cross and follow the Lord in baptism, the Bible says they come as babes. They come as little babes. And you know, a baby comes forth in this world, it's a handicap to a certain extent, because you got to feed it, you got to clothe it, you got to bathe it. And of course, when God's people come to that state, brother, in order to join the church, take up their cross and follow their Lord in baptism, they come as helpless as a little babe, depending only